Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 31st of October. Recording at, sorry about this, 10:50 Greenwich Mean Time. Okay, well, what a choppy day in here. Now, first the highlights. Following Wall Street's strength on Friday, we had some rebounds in Asia. The most important move was a blast to a new high by the Japanese TOPIX index. Second section had hit new highs last week. In Europe, very powerful gains, up 2% right across the board, 2% or more. Well, most of them are up that much. Wall Street follow-through on the upside, that's not bad, although part of the gains are given up towards the close. Still, after the big move we saw on Friday to get further gains, this is definitely a round for the bulls. There's no other way to describe it. Okay, moving on. Government bonds, not much going on there. In currencies, the US dollar index pushed back above the 90 resistance level, so the battle goes on. And in precious metals, we had a swan dive here by silver today, and we also had we had a move down of about $7 for gold as well. Palladium and platinum held relatively steady, although well off the earlier highs. And oil and natural gas on the soft side. Okay. So, first, stock markets. Well, talking about some of the short-term charts in here, and I listed a number of them. In comment of the day, one of the reasons for the delay in getting that up. But it's a little bit of a mug's game when action is this choppy. It's much, much easier to follow normal returns to or consistent returns to support levels within a clear and consistent trend, and of course to point out breakouts that lead to an extension of a consistent rhythmic trend. But when we get these wars between bulls and bears that we've been seeing recently, when markets, not to mention global strategists, are ducking and diving, as Frank Bruno used to put it, it's fairly tricky here, needless to say. And one needs to comment frequently here just to keep a pace with what's going on. But as I said earlier in my quick review, that the bulls have certainly won an important round in here, and we see that evidence in the form of the upward dynamics that are taking place. We see it in Wall Street with the S&P pushing back above that 1200 level here today that I'd cited as being important on the upside. And we don't know a whole lot here for certain, but one of the things that we do know is that we have established what are technically significant or technically important and a technically important floor. What's the difference? Well, significant would imply that markets are going to go running on up into the wild blue yonder. I have considerable reservations about that, but the door to at least tests of the highs is open while while those October lows hold. And perhaps more importantly for most of us, we can't get a renewed bear market, say by Wall Street, and a considerable downdraft by other global markets beyond what they've seen off their recent highs. And that's a shakeout, but it's not a considerable downdraft in my book at any rate. But we can't get a big downside move unless those important, in my view, October lows are taken out. So while those October lows hold, I give sideways to up, sideways ranging to upward bias in stock markets the benefit of the doubt. I think that's as plainly and clearly as I can actually put it. Is this a risky environment? You bet it is, because we'd seen a lot of technical deterioration in a good many indices that looks in excess in more often than not from some of the technical deterioration that we had seen, say, in March and early April of this year, or at any other time, say, at the beginning of the year. That's not in all instances, but in a good many of them, this was an important shakeout, and it occurred from higher levels for most indices. And also, this good technical bull by Wall Street is long in the tooth, as I've pointed out before. Okay, let's move swiftly on in here. Government bonds. Technically, perhaps a bit oversold, but I think upside scope is limited to technical rallies in the futures, and not much more than that. In terms, and I've covered that so much in the long-term big picture outlooks that I need not go into much more on that, I think, at this stage. And in terms of the currencies, certainly the expectation of higher U.S. interest rates is helping to support the U.S. dollar, and the rebound that we saw on Wall Street on Friday and with some follow-through here today hasn't hurt the dollar either, needless to say. Now, at some point, those rising interest rates are going to weigh on sentiment in the stock market, but that's not the case. We're getting a relief rally in here and also some short covering. And I think in looking at some of my own positions, I'm living dangerously with those shorts, and I'll probably pull those out. Those hedge shorts that I put in. I'm just glad I didn't disturb any of my long positions. Now, going back to the dollar, though, that's the cushioning factor. We know on the charts, and you can see it. I put the dollar index up again, and of course, it's always in the chart library. You can see that there is a lot of lateral and psychological resistance near this 90 level. But having seen, albeit in Sisyphusian style, the dollar index claw its way back up there, it really does need another downward dynamic to put, well, to reinstill fear in the minds of US dollar bulls. Quite possibly, this battle will go on for a while. Currencies notoriously turn more slowly than so many of the other markets, not least because they are vastly more liquid than stock markets or even government bond markets, let alone individual share markets. Okay, in precious metals, some of the strength in that no doubt was attributed to the fact that people were very worried about a stock market rout. That's a very short-term theme, and it was stock markets rallying, so we saw some profit taking in those precious metals. But the big theme is supply and elasticity and undervalued real assets. So really, if we take silver, every time we've seen a bungee jump in silver, it's been a buying opportunity in the last few years, and I really doubt that it's any different this time. Ditto gold. So I mean, gold didn't get a bungee jump in here today, but down $7, that'll frighten a number of people. Look at the chart; it just looks like a normal consolidation that may well continue for a while longer. Having encountered resistance at the highs, people might want to see it have a look at the recent lows. But in the big picture scheme of things, it doesn't look important at all. And I maintain that all of these precious metals are buys on setbacks. Industrial metals, a little bit mixed, no big action in there today, but generally steady more often than not. Petroleums, and oh, one thing I forgot to put on the in the comment of the day. I think I'll go back and re-edit it to get it in there. I did pick up a little bit more natural gas in here today. That has fallen back, as has crude oil, which has dipped back underneath the $60 level. Now, so this correction, this medium-term correction continues, but it's coming down in a very sort of orderly fashion here so far. It doesn't look like to me that we've reached any kind of really serious top. I mean, that's always a possibility when you get a correction, and a number of people are beginning to say that or beginning to hope that. But I'm far from convinced on that. Natural gas, I'm living dangerously in that, not for the first time, and adding to my long position. It fell quite sharply in here today and looks a bit overextended. I'll go back and read it at the website and put that mention in. That's it, folks. All the best.